Well, turn on the TV and you can barely escape it. Candidates on the campaign trail deriding free trade agreements like the pending Trans-Pacific Partnership. But here in the Midwest, farmers and ranchers, the people behind one of our biggest industries, are bucking the trend. Harvest Public Media's Christoph Husted tells us why.
Candidates on both sides of the aisle have taken their message on the stump. The Trans-Pacific Partnership, or TPP, is a bum deal that will hurt America, especially low-wage workers.
The TPP is a horrible deal.
I am not in favor of what I have learned about it.
I oppose TPP and have always opposed TPP.
To be in opposition to the TPP is that American workers should not be forced to compete against people.
Free trade agreements remove tariffs on products we import, but also on stuff grown here that we export to other markets. That opens the door to get more beef, soybeans, and rice into other countries at more competitive prices. So, if you ask a farmer about the TPP, you're likely to get a different answer.
So this pending TPP trade negotiation, to me, is hugely important for agricultural commodities, but specifically for beef.
Mike John raises cattle in Huntsville, Missouri. He's checking on a herd of calves that were born last fall. John says the TPP could ultimately put money in farmers' pockets by giving them more customers in Asian countries with a taste for American beef.
The Asian markets are showing a huge increase in demand for beef, and in particular, the grain-fed U.S. beef is highly prized in places where that beef demand is growing.
The 11 countries that make up the TPP already take in nearly half of American agricultural exports. That's worth a whopping $63 billion, according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture. The department says the TPP could be worth an additional $3 billion to U.S. farmers, though that estimate is on the high side. That's why more than 200 ag groups recently drafted an open letter urging Congress to approve the deal. Beef producers like John want to see the TPP pushed through because it is designed to cut tariffs in countries like Japan.
So it's not necessarily that we need to get into those markets. We just need to have a fair access so that we can compete with the other global suppliers of beef.
Indeed, agricultural policy analyst Julian Binfield at the University of Missouri says not sealing the deal could leave U.S. farmers at a global disadvantage.
If TPP is not signed, then some other countries may write their own agreement. Maybe it's partners in the TPP, like Australia and New Zealand. They're writing bilateral agreements all the time. Maybe they get expansion.
That could actually mean less access overall for U.S. producers. The other issue casting a long shadow over TPP negotiations, China. China is not a part of the trade deal, but pro-TPP interests say agreements like this one prevent China from setting global trade rules in its own interest.
So in terms of the U.S.'s overall strategic position, I think that China is a massive power that they probably want to make sure that they impose their own or have some say in their own rules and they don't let China dictate too much.
All of this is not to say that all farmers are campaigning for the TPP.
It's not that we're opposed to trade.
Roger Johnson is the president of the National Farmers Union. We spoke via Skype.
It's not that we don't want more agricultural trade. We absolutely do want more agricultural trade.
The Farmers Union is looking at the broader economy. Johnson says he's worried that free trade deals make it more likely that big companies will move jobs overseas. That hurts the U.S. market for food, and it hurts farmers that depend on off-farm income. He's worried we import more than we export.
If it gets worse as a result of this agreement, just like it has as a result of earlier agreements, then what have we gained? I mean, we just haven't made a meaningful step forward.
President Obama championed the TPP and set his sights on getting the deal approved before he leaves office. For that to happen, Congress will have to approve it. But both the Senate and the House have yet to set a date for review. Christopher Husted, Harvest Public Media.
And Chris Husted joins me now from KBIA in Columbia. And thanks for being with us, Chris.
No problem, Steve.
Joining us by phone from his office is Chad Hart. He's an associate professor of economics at Iowa State University. He's a crop market specialist. Professor Hart, thank you for taking some time with us.
It's my pleasure to be here.
So, Chris, as you say, they're talking trade on the campaign trail. Why are we hearing candidates bash trade as much as we are?
These are talking points that the candidates are using to get voters riled up. But the bigger thing to remember here is that trade is a complex topic, and this is a $19 trillion economy. So trade is kind of simplistic, or is painted in a simplistic picture on the campaign trail. But as the farmers I spoke to say, it's not really that. Overall, though, 51% of Americans say trade agreements are a good thing for the country, while 39% say that it's been a bad thing. So it seems really blown up on the campaign trail, but in reality, it's not as important of a deal when, as opposed to terrorism, economic growth, jobs, and education is.
Chad Hart of Iowa State University, how might the farmer on the ground in Missouri or Kansas actually see the effect of a new free trade agreement?
Well, in this case, I'd say the main concentration for our producers is in the livestock industries. As we look at the countries involved here, I think Chris's piece highlighted this. The biggest deal for agriculture is probably incorporation of those Asian countries, and especially looking at their livestock and meat demand. That's going to open up those markets larger and increase our export potential in Southeast Asia.
Chad, how does all this matter to people, you know, from Missouri and Kansas who aren't actually farmers?
Well, I think when we're looking at our consumers, what this also means when you're looking at freer trade, it's not only are we getting access into those Southeast markets, Southeast Asian markets, but products from around the world would be entering the U.S. also with less taxes put upon them. They would be cheaper. And so what you see is this balancing act. Yeah, we're getting agricultural access in other countries, and those other countries are also getting agricultural access to U.S. consumers.
Chris, you've been reporting on this Trans-Pacific Partnership trade deal. We're talking about trade with Asia. Why is this one so important here close to home?
In the Trans-Pacific Partnership, we're talking about developing countries like Vietnam and Malaysia, and the mark of a growing middle class is to eat more meat. So in the U.S., we grow meat really well, and we want to export that meat. So these markets are really important to us. But we also want to export the feed that we grow here, the grain, to feed the livestock that they're growing there. There's a lot of big economies in this partnership that our livestock producers and our grain producers really want to get into.
Chris, you've done some reporting. You found that trade agreements like this Trans-Pacific Partnership could result in more GMOs, or these controversial genetically modified organisms, being sent overseas. Explain that to me.
It's a little tricky, but there's a part of the agreement that basically covers safety measures that the country can put in place to protect its public health. So in the past, officials could stop a shipping container right at the port if they suspect it's if it has pests or bacteria, or if it's an unapproved product. And that often takes a long time to iron out those disputes. The TPP essentially expedites how those disputes are handled and grounds those standards in the same research that the U.S. Uses when pointing to the safety of genetically modified crops. So, in turn, these new safety standards could force countries that have been wary or anti-GMO to take the GMO crops that we grow here, which is 90% of our soybeans and corn.
Professor, what's at stake globally if the TPP is finally approved?
Well, as was mentioned in the report, we're looking at countries where this is already $60 billion of our $150 billion of agricultural exports. And really, this is setting up trade deals that speak to future deals that will be made. I think Chris's piece did a nice job of framing this as you look at the debate and how China will enter into agricultural markets. This sort of sets the stage for that and says that these countries will play under similar rules to what are being proposed under TPP.
Well, Christopher Husted is the Harvest Public Media reporter based at KBIA in Columbia. You can find more of his reporting at harvestpublicmedia.org. And Chris, thanks for taking some time.
You're welcome, Steve.
Chad Hart is an associate professor of economics at Iowa State University. And Professor Hart, thank you for joining us as well.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure.